Hello, and welcome to Q&A Quest episode 393. I'm your host, Lunar Mike Epps, aka Wheels, and with me as always.
More sleep than man, David McBurney, Family Master. Area secure.
It's safe to bring Nanta out. Quite awake, many, many time zones ahead. Your man in Japan, Michael Baker, Gaiji Monogatari.
And the frequent guest star, Smokin' Joe Gamer, aka Joey, JoJo, Junior, Jabadoo.
It's the worst name I ever heard.
Okay, see, this time we did the bit correctly. Awesome.
Yay! Yes. We're funny.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah, let's not get too carried away.
That's fair.
For your enthusiasm, yes.
And I'm wide awake, which is bad because I actually have shit to do tomorrow.
I was going to say, you're in the same time zone as Wheels, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And if you're awake at the same time zone as Wheels, it's probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I'm not sure how Wheels is awake in the same time zone as Wheels. Bad.
Listen, I was in a startup type company after college, and that instilled very terrible sleeping habits in me.
Yeah, and I used to work second shift at a gas station and then a call center. Yeah, screwed me up.
Thank you for the bits, Fireminer. Well, since you're so awake now, I can bore you by talking about the Lunar Remastered Collection, which I'm playing for review and woefully behind on, and I'm going to have to retell my story of how I wasted time stupidly. So it can be on the podcast.
Wow.
So, you know the dungeon where you can't use items? I got stuck there for a while. And it seemed really hard, and the boss was destroying me. So I grinded for a while. Gained some levels, and eventually was able to eke out a victory against the boss. It's all excited. Proceeded on to the magical city. This is after like a week and a half, or possibly more, being stuck on this dungeon and just giving up for several days at a time out of frustration. So get to this town, waddle into the equipment shop to purchase some upgraded gear, and realize that Alex's equipment seems pretty light, and by light I mean that he had none, because in all my intellectual glory I had sold all his equipment while trying to sell old armor and weapons in the last town and not realized it. And apparently my brain assumed that since you can't use items in this dungeon that, you know, he was just punching monsters for this very reason. So that is the reason why I don't have a Silver Star story review up yet. I apologize.
On the plus side, you were probably well over-leveled for the next section of the game.
Yes, it seems so. But that is an epic doinker of all time.
So please, I missed part of that. What exactly?
So
I'm mentally dead.
So Wheels, would you like me to recap?
Yes, please. You can probably put it in.
Okay, so
more succinctly,
there is a level in the game where you are not allowed to use items. Somewhere, probably because he had not slept enough while playing it, Wheels somehow equated all equipment to items and had accidentally stripped the hero naked and sold all of his equipment and had not realized that he was fighting barehanded for the entire level and grinding up to the point where he could actually beat the boss barehanded.
Also, barely. With no armor, mind you.
Yeah, like I said, you stripped him naked.
Yep.
And only realized the error of his ways afterwards. Okay.
Because I need you to explain to me what dungeon you were in.
So you go to You have to go to the magical guild city. What's it called?
Yeah, Vayne.
Vayne. And there's that dungeon, the trial you have to go through to be allowed.
I thought
to
that enter. Might be what you had
yes,
fucked up.
That is what I fucked up.
Oh my god. Also, that's only like 3 hours into the game.
Yes, I realize, and that has completely screwed over my progress because I wasted so much time dying.
I'd like to also bring up this version's easier than it was on PS1.
Yeah. Well, not if you're an idiot.
Like, Working Designs monkeyed with this game's difficulty, and that's not here anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
why are you ignoring that treasure chest?
Because a bunch of them have poisoned me in this dungeon so far.
Yes, because you are a coward who fears death.
Yes.
Level 16, it's not even that far out from where you should be at this point, so any level advantage here has been thoroughly erased by existence.
Just tried to tip Ask Wheels, did it work? Yes, it did. Thank you, Fire Miner. Much appreciated. I forgot that was even a thing.
Wait, somebody just gave you money?
Yes, Fire Miner just tipped me a few bucks.
Wow. Great job.
Much appreciated.
I wish I could make money on the internet. Jeez.
I'm deeply ashamed of your conduct, Wheels.
Yes. So all said and done, I'm going to blitz my way through Leonard's Silver Star story in this collection and have a review up for that
Breakfast.
As soon as I can.
I don't know what he sounds like in this new one. I just remember Nash constantly saying, check this out, every time I use the fucking thunder spells.
Oh, God.
Check this out.
I'd forgotten that Nash just has a picture of Mia and his items you can look at.
It's not
creepy at all.
Do they change how that's pronounced? Because bromide's a really old name. Old way to describe a picture.
Nope.
It's kind of a classic thing in Japanese terminology now.
All right, yeah, there's a bunch of those in the game. If you know where to find them, and characters who are affiliated with that with any given girl can equip them.
Yeah. I'm just remembering that a bromide was an item in like the first level of Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
There's a joke item that's triggered a fight. So
I just realized something. Where's the fat kid?
Ramos, he is out of the party in like 2 hours.
Yeah, he pieces out.
Okay.
Which is great, because he also impeded my progress, because I was very bored in some of the early dungeons, and honestly just had to go play something else for a while.
How did he impede your progress in that context?
It's not any skills or anything, so just combat was just boring, and I would put it... would put it on auto battle for some like larger battles with a bunch of monsters. Turn the speed all the way up, and it still took for fucking ever.
So you can't open any of those chests?
I can. I'm just
if
scared.
If he did, he might theoretically get a bad thing to happen to him. Do you at least have the healing ring? You should have found that under Vayne.
Yeah. That was good.
Okay. Thank God.
Yes, I got a...
You're going to get just fucking marked when you actually find the boss of this area.
So I got a tip on to get the healing ring on the guide I looked up to figure out why this stupid dungeon was so hard. Followed its strategy for the boss to a T and was still dying. That's why I had to grind.
Yeah, you're going to get fucking marked by the boss of this island, by the way.
Is there no healing beforehand?
I don't remember there being like anything that's gonna heal you beforehand.
I'll have to go back to town then. Restock.
You will have to go back to the town?
Yeah, I've already done it.
Oh, thank God.
That's good.
I couldn't remember if you could actually just go back to the town. This dungeon itself is not actually very large. Like, I'm just remembering the playing the Sega CD version of this,
I know I've played this game. I just have no. I have very little recollection of actually playing it. Weird.
The thing I remember about the Sega CD version of this goddamn game.
Oh no! I mean, I think I played the Game Boy Advance version.
Yeah, Legend is fundamentally much more based on this version than it is on anything else. But although it has a ton of its own weirdness to it, but
I just want to see if this is live on the eShop yet.
Silver Star on Sega CD was an eye-opening experience because the if I pick this up, I think that I could probably be able to outpace you by this time tomorrow.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
And that's ignoring the fact that 90% of that time I would be spending sleeping or at work.
Wow.
I believe in you.
Wheels, I think more importantly, he doesn't believe in you.
Oh, he is. He has good reason not to. I mean,
I believe in you. I believe in you.
You hear me protesting.
You're going in a circle.
Stop it. I know where I'm going.
Stop
now.
Playing stupidly.
Alone.
No, you don't. You clearly do not.
You'll catch up in a second. Relax. I got this. I swear.
Get your ass beat by this fucking frog. But yeah, I have played through so many versions of Lunar. And I remember playing, when I finally played the Sega CD version, which is, like, has so many unfortunate and unpleasant choices in terms of how its interface works. Like, it feels kind of, like, interface-wise archaic for 1993 standards.
Oh, wow.
The thing that always throws me with the original Silver Star is that it has like two tile sets for dungeons for like the entire game. So every time you go, oh man, you can tell that's some working designs. I don't think
Mauve.
But yeah, you can tell that like there's like two tile sets for the entire game in terms of dungeon backgrounds in Silver Star on Sega CD. So like all the dungeons bleed together because they all kind of look the same.
That is a big ass frog. Wow.
Yeah. Yes, this man has trained. Yeah, Vigor. You should probably be using, at the very least, Cascade Song. Yeah, the increase in attack power is important. Like Vigor and Cascade Song are both very strong for that. Eventually, you'll get other things for this, but yeah. In terms of actually doing damage, Sword Dance is generally the best. Like, it's very cheap to cast and does a shit ton of single target damage.
A lot of magic-y types in this party. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Joe, why are you typing in chat? When you can just say it live.
I did say it live, but then I typed it anyways.
Why?
I don't even know what color that is.
For the record, he said mauve.
Mauve. What color is that? Is that like magenta?
Mauve?
Yeah.
No, it's... Think... brownish purplish red.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or, search up Loyola University New Orleans. It's the university's main color.
Okay.
Golden mauve. Actually, search up any Jesuit university in the United States and they're going to have the same colors.
Oh, that's problematic.
How exactly were we designed to monkey with everything stats in this? But...
you know, the freaking frog just stomped all over you. Holy crap.
You're it's a good thing you have two healers right now.
Jeez. This is making me think that I really should go back and finish Star Ocean Second Story R.
It's a great little game.
Yeah. So I put it on the other day, and I still haven't entered the competition because there was a snag, and then the girl and the girl and the other guy have to go find out what happened to the old man who was supposed to give him his sword. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Claude gets jealous.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's not jealous, though. He says he's not. But like, come on.
Dude. Oh, okay.
But he's the type. I do appreciate that, like, you can get an idea of at least one of a boss's attacks based on what animation that they're doing when you're starting the turn. That's going to be important eventually.
I got a notification. Yeah. I don't know what it was.
I didn't see it.
No clue.
Okay,
oh, thank you for following the RPG Gamer channel, Heavy Minded. I assume that's what the notification was.
Great job.
A few seconds ago, Chinese symbols has followed.
Spooky.
I can't.
I'm going to real quick mention one of these questions. Why hasn't anyone told me that D4 just released a Falcom game on the Switch, and it's a game I've never heard about before, Dinosaur? I think they just shadow dropped that. I hadn't heard about it until this morning.
I saw the RP Gamer post on Blue Sky, and I shared it on Discord. I've never heard of it either, but it looks neat.
Yeah. That's about how I heard about it. What's this?
Yeah. It's a shame that it's not in anything but Japanese, but...
Oh, yo, he just knocked you out with his tongue.
Nash, they knocked out Nash. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I would like to bring up one of the weird aspects of Lunar having been... Oh, yeah, you've turned on the thing that lets everyone have access to everyone else to the like whole party inventory.
That's an option?
That was not how it functioned, at least in the English version of the original. Everyone had up to 5 items they could carry at any given time.
Oh, jeez. That sounds awful. Yeah, it sounds just plain awful.
I mean, it made the game harder.
There's a reason why they stopped doing that particular inventory option for most games post Super Famicom.
It definitely made the game more difficult, but...
Who here will watch WrestleMania? Not live this year, unfortunately.
Well, Nash must be your biggest damage dealer. The stupid frog keeps knocking him out.
He is not.
No, monsters just hate him.
Okay.
Nash has a last name, and the only reason I know this is because it's mentioned in the GBA version for some reason. There's a lot of stuff that has names that are only mentioned in one version or another. It's odd. There's a lot of random lunar information floating around.
Wow, a remorseful villain. That's completely unrealistic.
Yeah, he's a third rate villain.
Yeah.
Just a weird little dipshit. abandons his property and tent entirely. I'm out. I'm done.
Peace.
But yeah. Yeah, you're still. This is me. What I would describe as maybe 5 hours then.
Yeah.
I remember, like in terms of ancillary material, there's a bunch of just stuff that found its way into like Japanese novelizations and shit. So like the English version, at the very least, never gave any of until like Legend. None of the dragons other than the white dragon had names. And apparently, and by the time you get to Lunar Legend, they have names again. But those names seem to match up with the novelizations. it's there's a lot of weird ancillary lunar material, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't leave. No.
You'll get her back eventually.
No, eventually is too long. It's not fair.
I need two healers.
You're not going to have two healers for long, I'll put it that way. The remake, Silver Star versus Silver Star Story Complete is also fascinating because they do just make a lot of just changes. Like, there's stuff in Silver Star Story that's interesting simply because it's designed to surprise people under the assumption that they have played Silver Star on Sega CD. So it's like, like when you get to the boat and Luna's like, yep, I'm gonna stay and go back home to spend time with our parents. And then there's a scene where like Alex is just like saying, hey, get on the boat with us, we need you here, we need you to go with us. And she actually does. It's like a huge twist if you have played Lunar on the Sega CD and are like, wait, what? No, that's not what happened.
What happens in the Sega CD very different. Version?
What's that?
What happens in the Sega CD version? I forget.
She just stays home.
Oh.
Oh.
When does she join up with you?
She doesn't. She leaves the party and is gone.
Oh, wow. Oh. Wait,
permanently?
Yeah, you never get her back in the party after you go to Moravia in the Sega CD version.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like that was, you know, the Sega CD version and the PS1 and all later versions, their plots are so different. But like I've mentioned this many times before, I once played the Sega CD version and the PS1 version in tandem, playing them dungeon by dungeon. I had never played the Sega CD version before. And they get so different. Like, my thought process was, oh, I'll just play the same dungeon in Sega CD and then in PS1. And eventually it reached a point where, like, they were so different, it was not actually possible to reconcile them. You weren't going to the same places and you weren't doing the same things.
Wow.
So, by the end point, there was really... It was not possible to do that. And the ending itself is actually quite a bit different. They're very, very different games. Fundamentally, the way I would describe what the PS1 version is doing mechanically is that it's bringing Silver Star in line with Eternal Blue. Like, if you play Eternal Blue on Sega CD and then play Silver Star on PS1, you get games that are mechanically quite similar. Because in the original version, like, all of the magic in Silver Star on PS1 was completely overhauled. The spell list was drastically shrunk for each character. and generally made. It's so obnoxious on the
never opening another chest in this game.
There's very few booby trap treasure chests in this game, which makes it funnier. But how to describe this? The Sega CD version of Lunar One, Alex has like 40 spells in that.
Oh wow, jeez.
In this version, he has 8. It's actually really hard to keep track of spells because they don't have descriptions within combat, game rearranges them.
No.
It rearranges them to be ordered based on the order they were last cast.
Oh no.
So it is constantly rearranging them every time you're in combat.
Crap.
It is very confusing. Kyle's doing fine. But yeah, it's very confusing. That got winnowed down to like 8 to 12, like, you know, 8 to, I think, the most spells someone can have in Eternal Blue on like Sega CD is maybe 16. And the way the menu is arranged is exactly like it is in Silver Star Story. It's a huge overhaul of that game. And I can totally tell why they did it. But yeah. I will say to Wheels to definitely drop a save before going to the Red Dragon's Cave. Like, if this is like the original, and if this is like the PS1 version, and I suspect that it is, once you're in the Red Dragon's Cave, you cannot get out.
Okay.
So, you know, make sure to have a secondary save. I think it'll be easier than it was on PS1. But I absolutely had a soft locked save at the Red Dragon's Cave when I was a child. Again, like, working designs monkeyed with that game to make basically every boss harder, as I recall. Let's see, Fireminer says, there's a secret code in one fan hack that changes the story so that Dessa lives and is the deuteragonist. Yes, I have seen that while going down lists of hacks, and I am flummoxed by it. Of the two stories in Saga Frontier 2, which one's the better path? I don't know that there's really, like, you kind of gotta play them both in 2. Like, they're intertwined. I'm checking what exactly working designs did to Monkey with the difficulty of Silver Star Story complete. Because it's, I seem to recall that they just essentially cranked the EXP down and the bosses up, basically all told. Let's see. Okay, yeah, there we are. Regional differences. Enemy stats. Regular enemies had, so the setup for Silver Star Story Complete in English, like per the cutting room floor, with few exceptions, regular enemies had 45% higher attack, give out 14% less EXP and 10% less money, and have 10% less HP. The net effect of this is to make it a lot harder to stay alive and to increase, in an extremely artificial way, the time required to beat the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, almost every enemy in the game was just made to do way more damage and to give out slightly less EXP and gold. And in the English version, they actually introduced, like, level scaling.
Why?
specifically scaling every boss to Alex's level down to a floor value. Like, there's a certain point where, like, it can't get lower than a certain level.
They can sure go higher.
Yeah, like, it, each of them had, like, a minimum and a maximum level that they could reach. So, like, it was possible to outlevel them, and it was possible to, okay, yeah. And basically what Working Designs did here was they just made it so that every stat scales worse. Yeah, every boss except one unbeatable boss had its minimum level increased by 1 to 6 levels. So their base stat value is always significantly higher. And some of them also scale higher per level. They just sort of made the game obnoxiously harder. So that was a lot. There's one undefeatable encounter that had its stats, like, that they didn't monkey with the stats on. But then several other completely impossible to defeat encounters, they did monkey with their stats to make them harder. For some reason.
I mean, was it just some twisted sense of personal philosophy, or what?
Working Designs basically never met a game that they didn't think was too easy. In at least one case, that made the game nearly uncompletable. Exile, Wicked Phenomenon. In other contexts, it simply made the game miserable. Like, I forget what the exact amount that everything was scaled in Alundra, but it's absurd. Like, it makes the game so much longer. Every fight makes you wonder if you're... Like, normal-ass enemies in Alundra take 3 or 4 hits from the very beginning of the game, and it gets worse from there. Working Designs is... I think a lot about Alundra, and there's several Working Designs games where, like, you go back and look at them, and it's like, it's impressive that what they did to them did not, like, completely ruin some of these games.
I mean, you can make an argument for the fandom not knowing better yet.
Yeah, but there's some shit in those. When I talk about, like, Alundra not being completely ruined, I'm talking not just about, like, we didn't know better, but also just the fact that, like, despite a copious amount of, like, just random-ass weed jokes or whatever, it's still clear that Alundra is a completely, like, miserably unhappy video game. Okay, yeah, what did they do to every... Okay. Okay. Yeah, every fucking monster in Alundra got its base health increased by at least 50%.
Hey.
Fuck it. Fuck you for trying to play this video game. Fuck off. Oh, that's another thing that, like, throws me every time I recall some of the weird differences between the Sega CD and PS1 versions of Lunar. Alex is basically entirely silent in the Sega CD game. The first time that you see... that you see his character portrait in the Sega CD version... is when like the twist villain is revealed, and that is significantly further in the game than Wheels is at. Someone's okay. Fireminer says so. Someone's working on a Saturn Tokimeki Memorial translation. Is now looking for everyone, and to help them fix the frequent crashes. It's the Saturn's. I don't. It's no wonder it's buggy. I don't think that's like it's the Saturn. So there's not a lot of people that are as versed in hacking it, hacking games for it. I think that's something that like it's useful to remember about ROM hacking is that you end up needing people who are very familiar with certain kinds of, like certain kinds. People get specialized in ROM hacking for specific platforms, and so that's why, you know, you'll see obscure Super Nintendo games get translation hacks, but you won't see like you'll see very few major PC Engine games getting hacked. It's like, you know, there's nothing per se that would make it like, you know, it's a custom piece of hardware, but so like there are unique hurdles, but like they're just, you know, in America there just aren't as many people in America and English speaking territories, there just aren't as many people that are used to the individual quirks of hacking PC Engine games compared to Super Nintendo games. And the same sort of goes for the Saturn. Like, yes, that's a complex piece of hardware, but like the bigger issue is just that while there are definitely more and more Saturn hacks, which I think are starting to come about because people really went to bat to make sure that your Shining Force 3s and games of that level of importance were hacked. You know, so some of these, you know, you need that initial knowledge in order to get people to be able to hack to hack the less obscure games, to hack the more obscure games, or the less the ones that don't require an entire community to come together. I would like to bring up that the secondary villain that the subplot Wheels is currently in Lunar, that I will not say because that would be a spoiler for a game that is just now being re-released. But the secondary villain here that is involved with the subplot is just an entirely new invention for the Saturn and PS1 version. It doesn't. The villain that's causing the subplot that you're seeing right now did not exist in. In the Sega CD version. What is the key to making a reference to a popular figure and not having the joke feel dated? Just make a joke about Greek philosophers. I think that will simply confuse people. The answer is that figure has to stay popular for long enough that by the time people forget about your preferred piece of media, they're still by the time the thing you're making goes out of popularity, people have forgotten.
Whatever you've just forgotten.
Yeah, whatever has just come about. Like, I mean, you know, they're still making Looney Tunes. People still recognize Foghorn Leghorn, even though they don't realize what he's a knockoff of.
What is
he? I did search up some videos of Senator Cleghorn once just to see, and that guy was funny.
So. Yeah, Senator Cleghorn, a character from the Fred Allen Show, a World War II era radio show.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you get away with that because like that's the other thing is your reference funny even if people don't know what the reference is to?
I was gonna say that's a major major point that you have to consider in riding too.
Yeah.
I once had somebody ask me if I really needed that many specific types of references in something. I'm like, yeah, the inside jokes are not for my readers. They're for me. They're present to me. I just try to make them as funny as I can. So with context, they're even funnier, but if you laugh at it the first time, then it's all good.
Mm-hmm. When I think of a quick reference that works regardless of whether you understand it in specific, I think of this is all the way back, let's say season 2 Simpsons joke where Mr. Burns is discussing a boxing match and says that he remembers when Gentleman Jim Corbett fought no longer an acceptable word. But he's referencing a boxer who had retired in like 1910. Like, a boxer of such profound oldness that there was no human being on Earth when that episode aired in like 1990 who could have possibly who would possibly remember this man's last boxing match.
And therein lies the joke.
Yeah, like the joke works because even if you don't know who Gentleman Jim Corbett is,
you kind of figure it out. Just
you can tell that he must be just mind-bogglingly old.
Mm-hmm.
His last real match seems to have been in 1903. he had a sparring match in 1924, at which point he was 60. But his last having an actual match that was expected to be competitive was 1903. That is to me the epitome of a joke that is functional regardless of whether you understand what the reference is. If you use those fire canes, if you just use them as items in battle, they kind of cast a spell. But
so showing their Final Fantasy IV credentials here.
But yeah, I would say you need to pick something that is going to be amusing whether you get the reference or not. Because I think the first time I saw that Mr. Burns joke, I thought they just made up an old timey sounding dude.
Yeah.
Therein
lies the other thing. Half the humor lies in nobody being able to understand the reference.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is you look at old Looney Tunes and they're stuffed to the gills with references to things that no one has thought about in 70 years.
Famous actors of the 30s, 40s, 50s, and possibly much earlier than that.
Yeah. People who had been essentially memes in vaudevilles.
Yeah.
If the character is funny, even if you don't know what the, a lot of what Looney Tunes dealt in was caricature. If those are funny... Mm-hmm. If that's a funny looking caricature, even if you don't know who it's of, that's what you can get away with. That ultimately ends up being it. Does the joke is the joke funny even if you don't know what it's based on? Is Lucia from Lunar 2 secretly an attempt to emulate a princess raising sim character? There's not really enough mechanic there. It's definitely designed to make you grow attached to her kind of in real time. Because as you know, you get further into the story and she develops as a person, man, you are making just like baffling choices about where to target these attacks. As she grows as a person in real time, she treats the character like she starts fighting alongside you instead of just running away instantly every time you fight, and like you still can't give her orders, but it gives her a bit more she feels a little you feel more loyalty to her as she starts feeling more loyalty to you as a party member. But you know, there's not, you know, that's story based. There's not really a lot else going on there. God, you actually bought a bar of soap. Those are expensive. Where did you find that?
Yeah, I think I bought it.
I didn't even remember you could actually buy them yet. The Gravore posters you can find and touch in Metal Gear Solid 2, funny. Some of them. But it's one of those things. It's like it's a... There's some silly things you can do. Metal Gear has like a very strange relationship with women at the best of times. Speaking of the Gravure posters, you sometimes have people trying to pass off their fetishes as a joke in tabletop RPGs. There have been any game developer that tried to do this. Tons, up to and including Kojima himself. But I'm gonna be real. Like, I have moved past thinking too terribly hard about any given works. Like, I wouldn't say I've moved past, but like, I've reached a point where I've started tuning out a lot of just like ambient fetish in works because it's everywhere. Like, people make things that they like, and one of the things people like is the stuff that gets them going. It just finds its way into every work. It's a nightmare.
The author's barely disguised fetish.
Oh God, what was the... I'm reminded of the... The old gun show comic, the most directly illustrates this hell, and the phrase that I associate with this entire concept: "Dare you enter my magical realms?"
Oh, I know exactly what that is, and no.
Hard cutting to stop injecting your horrible fetishes into our game. Drop that in there so that everyone else is forced to be aware of the choices that I've made with my life. You're lucky I'm just linking to the comic and not just linking the image itself.
Okay. Let's take a look.
I know exactly what this is. I'm not looking.
The hell is this?
Dare you enter my magical realm? Oh, and Fireminer actually was referencing the same thing.
I got diddled. I got diddled again.
It is that famous, yes.
I've been diddled again.
This is terrible.
Piss force. Oh, God.
How did you go this long on the internet without finding that one?
I have never seen this.
What was that?
No, this is awful.
Yes, it is.
Oh, and there's more of them. Oh, God.
You come across a bridge troll instead. The bridge troll has graciously let you pass unpissed.
Oh, God. Oh, this is wonderful. And terrible at the same time.
There's a Thanksgiving comic. Bunch of Thanksgiving.
That was a good comic.
Comic. Wow. Never heard of this before.
For the days of webcomics. Okay, Farmer says, I've asked about game or film adaptations that are way more popular than the original work. A lot of times it's about the adaptation digging into something universal and speaking to all of us. Has there been any official adaptation that takes something universal and uses it to make something extremely specific? Like I once saw a Kochikame fan comic about the daily psychological pain who have hemorrhoids. That's a nightmare.
That sounds like something Kochikame would do, yes.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, you do occasionally get these situations where someone has just enough unmonitored access to an IP to make something that's obviously extremely personally relevant to them. But I struggle to think of much off the top of my head.
These comics are fucked up.
Yes. Okay, what's the exact wording of the question again?
The exact verbiage was, has there ever been any quote-unquote official adaptation that takes something universal and uses it to speak to something extremely specific?
Okay, so like a comic or something where they just use their soapbox to say something really ridiculously specific?
Yeah, something that, like, comic or a game or, you know, an adaptation of pre-existing work where someone has taken something and used it to speak to something very specific that is much less universal than the IP is known for.
Okay.
Alright, I wasn't watching for a while, and I see Luna has been replaced with Mia, and now Alex appears to be punching things.
Yes.
Yeah, they're required in a magic tower that makes sure that he's not allowed to.
Okay.
I haven't repeated previous mistakes. It's required.
Okay. Okay.
I swear.
But in this version, you get Luna back.
You would have already lost her hours ago in the original version.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Oh, she's dead.
You just loot her?
I am bringing up a different favorite webcomic that has nothing to do with anything. It just lives in my head forever.
It has nothing to do with whether or not we get Luna back in the party?
I will not be spoiling for you.
God damn it. This is what I get for failing to play this game for decades.
All you eat is butter. How are you alive? I don't know.
I love the shrug there.
Yeah.
Thank you for the best, Fireminer.
I will forever love. How are you alive?
Oh, when you enter my magical realm.
Oh, don't enter Wheels. Don't enter Wheels' magical realm.
Is it time to do our plugs or whatever?
No, it's time to enter the magical realm.
Are we going to talk about what we played?
I think that's a bad idea at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I was gonna say this was.
We should probably just.
This was an unconventional episode. Nothing wrong with that, of course.
Yeah, especially because I woke up at like 10 p.m.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Oh wow.
Like I woke up like 10 minutes before I jumped in and realized, oh shit, I was supposed to be awake.
Okay.
Some time ago, yes.
Unconventional Q&A quest episode where we ramble on in all sorts of different magical directions. Yeah. Such a thing has never happened in the history of the show.
Uh-huh. Inconceivable, yes.
Yes.
How could such a thing have happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hang on 1 second. Hang on.
Hang on.
Ready?
By my buck!
Oh, I forgot about the soundboard again.
Oh no, you forgot about
I was trying to think of a good segue that did not link back into previously stated meme comics, because I do not wish to have that associated with anything I'm writing. Dudes. Dave. Okay. So, sure, okay. It is technically indie April if you are into any of the online trends for private or for independent publishing.
In this case, you should be.
Yes, hopefully should. So for Indie April, we have Princesses of the Pizza Parlor for Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. Currently 13 episodes, 4 side stories, and a paralogue. If you're reading it on Kindle Unlimited, this is about 2,500 pages, more or less. Should take you a while. Have fun. Go at it. If you enjoy tabletop role-playing games, if you enjoy watching other people play tabletop role-playing games, or more importantly, if you enjoy the schadenfreude of watching them make some pretty obvious mistakes personally and ludistically, then again, Princesses of the Pizza Parlor for Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. And beyond that, we also have Tanuki's a Teapot, a collection of Japanese animal folktales, also on Kindle Unlimited, with illustrations by yours truly, because, hey, it's my book, I can do what I want. And speaking of which, this also explains the next item, Vainglorious Long as the Night, just because, you know what, lit RPG is a popular genre right now, I figured, let's try this. I somehow doubt that it's much like anything else currently available for the genre, just because I'm weird like that. But yes, it's also available on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited in a fixed format. I have not been able to change it to any other format for various reasons that only Amazon really understands. So yes, be aware that if you get the ebook version, it's going to have to be in red and portrait mode, and you can't switch black to white, black background, white lettering. C'est la vie. If you have the print copy, yay, thank you, somebody actually bought that. Okay. Nobody has yet, so. Okay. Anyway, so that's all under Michael Yarimizu, YARIMIZU, on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. Hello?
Hello. Sorry, I'm distracted by cutscene.
Okay. Of course you are.
Okay, you know, I'll hit the button. I'll hit the button again.
Bye.
There we go. Okay, we can leave the soundboard alone now. Okay.
We have to hit all the other buttons.
No, we don't. Joe, tell us where we can find you.
Need to get a Nash button on there now.
Oh, God.
Okay, so... this is Smoke Joe Gamer. You can find me on Blue Sky. You can follow me there, Twitch and YouTube. So, not sure what's going on with the Twitch channel, because I've been streaming Final Fantasy XIV every Friday night and haven't been getting any viewers, unfortunately. And it's kind of tricky to stream on Friday nights. I end up being really tired and irritable. And I also wanted to take a break from Final Fantasy XIV, you know, save some money to put towards Switch 2 and have some other stuff in the backlog I want to get through before Switch 2 comes out. Yeah, so at this point, there's not going to be any more Final Fantasy XIV Fridays, but I think I may want to bring back Sega Saturdays, and I am planning Metroidvania, so that's Metroidvania games all throughout the month of May. That'll mostly be on YouTube. There might be some Twitch streams, though, so just, you know, if you go to the Smoke and Joe Gamer on Twitch, then just check the schedule. Right now, I think I might be streaming some Rocket Knight Adventures on Saturday, maybe. And then I put Sunday Night Shenanigans in there, so that'll be, you know, Marvel Rivals or Street Fighter VI or whatever else we feel like. You can definitely check that out on the Ask Wheels channels, and I might stream it on my channel at the same time. We'll see. And yeah, and I'm currently trying to decide which Metroidvania games to play next month. So, just getting ready for that. And then, if I'm able to get a Switch 2 when it comes out, I will definitely want to stream some Mario Kart, along with everybody else. And then I'm sure I'll do JRPG July again, like I do every year. So we'll see what happens. So, you know, lately I was playing Final Fantasy XIV, but like I said, I'm taking a break. So I got Bard to level 70, unlocked the Reaper class, which starts at 70, and then also got Summoner Scholar and Ninja at 68. And I think I'm about 2/3 or 3/4 of the way through Stormblood content. So hopefully the next time I get back into it, I can clear that out and then move on to Shadowbringers, finally. And I talked about this on Sunday, but I know a lot of people probably didn't tune in to Shenanigans on Sunday, but I did try out that new Vampire Survivor stage based on Saga Emerald Beyond, and it's neat. It's set up kind of like the games. You've got this like hub area with all the portals, and your first time going there, you've got to do them in order and fight a boss to unlock the next portal. But after that, you can just kind of go anywhere. And I'm just trying to figure out how to unlock the rest of the characters and weapons and all that. So yeah, so it was fun to get back into that. And there's still some stuff from the Castlevania DLC that I didn't do. And they added a new map. It's a chicken coop. And there's giant chickens. Then it's actually kind of fun. Oh yeah, Vampire Survivors is the game that keeps on giving. And I just cannot believe how much value you get for $5, and then the DLCs are even cheaper than that. So that's exciting. I did jump back into Final Fantasy 16. We do not have to discuss it again.
Alright, I'm free.
There are enough things that I like where, you know what, I would like to keep playing. I think I'm about 12 hours in, so yeah, I would like to keep playing and see how the story plays out, but yeah, I understand the criticisms, and we'll see how that goes, but that's something from the backlog I do want to try to clear, you know, before June, assuming that I can get a Switch 2. We'll see. I appear to meet Nintendo's priority pre-order requirements, which puts me in a very exclusive club with at least 20 million other people. So,
you're also dealing with the fact that it's likely that the Switch 2s that get sent to the U.S. will likely be a much smaller subset than they may have initially planned, because the amount of import taxation on Switch 2s manufactured in Vietnam will be much smaller than the amount for those manufactured in China. So
yeah,
that's a much smaller proportion than having access to shipments from both countries.
Yeah,
we live in hell.
Like, yeah, when I watched the Nintendo Switch 2 Direct and got all excited, I briefly forgot that we are in the darkest timeline. So,
at the time, so did the rest of us, because that sure as hell was not on the menu. But yeah.
And I've been playing some Puyo Puyo.
Hopefully that stupid,
sorry,
stupid dog shit gets resolved soon.
Yeah.
But
We're going to see what happens in the next, what there was a 90-day pause or something, except for China. Oh, but NVIDIA's not affected, and it's just like, all right, now you're just...
Certain semiconductors, certain, like, computers. Video game consoles are not computers, according to tariff legislation. I hate this world.
Yeah, and they're trying to say that, I don't know, once again, the... I don't know what you want to call them now, the Christian nationalist evangelicals, are once again going after video games, trying to say that, well, we have to cut Medicaid because people are playing video games, or some stupid shit like that, and I don't know.
It's all nonsense pretext.
Total nonsense. So then I was also going to say, you might have tuned into Shenanigans 2 weeks ago, and we did a little bit of Puyo Puyo Tetris, and listen, I'm good at Tetris, but Puyo Puyo is just too weird for me. I just can't plan out those long combos for some reason, but I remembered that I had the second one on Xbox, and it's Series X optimized, not sure why, but I was playing that a little bit and got some more achievements, and that has a few extra modes that are not in the first one, so that was fun to jump into, you know, kill a couple hours playing some Tetris and Puyo. And I swear to God, the computer Puyo Puyo players, they cheat so damn bad. So, there's that. Yeah, and if you follow me on Blue Sky, that's Joey at smokingjoegamer.bsky.social. I post just random stuff on there. I mean, I was in a crappy mood last night, but doing better today, and actually recorded myself playing some guitar, if you want to check that out. Took some pictures of the guitar that I bought and upgraded and almost ruined back in 2020. So I did say that I wanted to get around to maybe just talking about each of the guitars in my collection and do some more music related content. So yeah, you know, I was able to motivate myself to get a little bit done today. And briefly, just I did decide to play through Gone Home again. And no, it's a very good game, I would say. You know, I think it was reasonably priced for what was on offer. It did get Game of the Year. It tells a compelling story. I mean, the gameplay may be a little simplistic, but you know, games don't have to be difficult or long or complicated. And
did you go there's home?
You do some detect yeah you do some detective work to find out what happened to your missing family. And I just this time around, I was really thinking about a family that used to live across the street when I was a kid, and they had two girls, and we would hang out. And I'm pretty sure I was the weird neighbor kid with all the cool Nintendo games, you know, because in the game, the girl talks about her friend Daniel, who got weirder, but he had Street Fighter, and she liked that.
Someone has to have Street Fighter.
Yeah, and so this family ended up moving to a more upscale neighborhood across town. It was a new development of these just huge houses for more affluent families, and we went to visit a few times, and it's just, for some reason, the house and Gone Home reminds me of that house and that family. So, you know, and that dredges up some stuff for me too, but at the same time, you know, there's some kind of bittersweet memories. And what I love about the game is all the 90s nostalgia stuff that I grew up with. Like, you go into this entertainment room and you see all the blank VHS tapes, and we used to be able to put those tapes into a VCR and record whatever was on TV. This is before DVRs and stuff. And the father, I guess, had a whole collection of X-Files episodes, and it's like, oh yeah, I watched that when I was a kid. It scared the shit out of me, but I loved it. And yeah, you find a piece of paper with Chun-Li's special moves on it, and I had the Genesis version of Super Street Fighter 2 when I was a kid. You find what I think is some kind of off-brand copy of the Girl Talk board game, where, you know, where you had the phone and stuff, and I remembered playing Mall Madness, and of course we had a Ouija board and all those other kind of board games as a kid. It's always just a neat game to play, I think, and I think it's worth everybody playing. And I do sometimes get angry when I play it, only because I think about all the stupid, you know, anti-woke people, and just, I don't know why they have to be so goddamn selfish, and there are just some really compelling stories being told in a lot of games. So yeah, definitely check out Gone Home if you haven't already. So, and please consider following on YouTube, Twitch, Blue Sky, and all that. Thank you.
Okay, man. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. As for us, hopefully back to normal timing next week. It's been long. Forever.
My work schedule only gets worse from here on out. So.
Shit.
I'm available. I was available today mainly because they had various club-related stuff and a first-year student school trip, camping trip today. So
yeah, shit might get rescheduled if we can make things work for Gaijin. TBD.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if there's another day we can possibly do, we'll figure it out.
I would be, to be honest, like Wednesday night would work better for me anyways, if that's on the table, just throwing that out there.
That's actually the most available night I have. Oh, wait a minute, Wednesday night?
Oh. Yeah, Eastern Standard Time around. In the U.S., yes.
Sorry, I was calculating things in reverse. I'm actually, it's Tuesday afternoon for me.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the complete opposite day of the week.
Gotcha.
Tuesday afternoon, so you're saying Monday nights?
Yep.
Well, okay. we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We will discuss this more off camera. If you catch us when we do streams, you can ask us questions like dear friend Fireminer did in the chat. Again, subject to change as we work around Gaijin's schedule. We will still, no matter what, have shenanigans at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern on Sunday nights, where you can catch us doing whatever the hell. If you want to ask us questions in a way that does not revolve around our schedules, you can ask us questions via the RP Gamer Discord. You can join the RP Gamer Discord by going to rpgamer.com and clicking the community tab. That'll get you a Discord invite to a lovely community. If you go to the podcast section and put a question in there, we will probably assume it's for us, unless you say it's for someone else. But even if you do say it's for someone else, if it's a compelling enough question, we might answer it anyway. otherwise, you can also leave a comment on rpgamer.com underneath this very episode. If that is more your style, we will try to keep track. But otherwise, I think that's enough, and I need to go die. See you, Space Cowboys.
See you.
This is Mole Man in the morning. Good Mole Man to you.
See ya. Good night.